I feel like when it comes to building my business, I am super, super precise and very rigid when it comes to building the company, because I feel like I just have to be.
The Fred Minnick Show is brought to you by 291 Colorado Whiskey, by Michter's American Whiskeys, and by Heaven Hill Brands.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Fred Minnick Show. Fred here. I'm gonna perk you up today. Today's gonna be about coffee. You're gonna hear me talking to a couple different coffee makers coming up throughout the week. Now we're gonna have two episodes before Christmas, because I want to make sure that you get the presents that you need. So this is, I'm a big fan of coffee, and Sarah Wynn is like an astonishing entrepreneur. She is bringing back Vietnamese coffee, bringing some cred to it, and you're going to learn about that here coming up. But I got to tell you too, as a professional taster, I'm not always adept at the tasting techniques in other areas. I've honed in my skills as a spirits taster, you know, and I've got the old days in my wine world, but I've just always been kind of like a coffee connoisseur. I've never really studied it, you know, the way I do spirits or beer or wine or mead. And so this was kind of a fun crash course in learning about tasting coffee and like going through how a professional does it. You know, I love learning, and you know, I love tasting. So giddy up for what is a great episode and also an idea for a gift if you haven't gotten one yet. But first, a word from our sponsors.
People want a great whiskey that isn't like every other whiskey. So nestled in the shadow of Pike's Peak, 291 Colorado Whiskey is distilled from grain to barrel to bottle. Exceptional Western whiskey, unlike any other. Passion permeates every sip. Utilizing grains from the Colorado Plains, water collected from Pike's Peak reservoirs, and finished with aspen staves, 291 Colorado Whiskey is an award-winning single barrel and small batch whiskey. Hard made the Colorado way. Our recipe, our stills, independent and always rugged, refined, and rebellious. 291 Colorado Whiskey is proud of its humble roots and excited as we expand to new frontiers. Get your taste of Colorado at 291coloradowhiskey.com. Online orders available, or find a bottle near you. Ride it like you stole it. Drink it like you own it. Live fast. Drink responsibly.
Hey guys, Michael Malice here. Be sure to check out my weekly podcast, You're Welcome with Michael Malice, now on Podcast One. You might know me from my terrible Twitter, my horrible books, or the nonsense I spout on podcasts like Rogan and Glenn Beck. It's all there. Are you black-pilled or white-pilled for the future of the UK? What is a man?
What is a man?
What is a... No, what is it? Are you white-pilled or black-pilled? No, seriousness, girl.
No. I love the Jesse Lee piece of question.
The fact that you discovered that gives me hope for some of the things that I've still got that are missing.
Well, if you need James G. Blaine's autograph, you are welcome to it. Of course, being the co-author of How to Have Impossible Conversations makes you the perfect guest for this train wreck of a show. New episodes are available every Thursday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and wherever you get your podcasts. You are welcome.
At Michter's Distillery, our passion is making the finest bourbon, rye, and American whiskey possible. When you only produce very small batch and single barrel whiskey as we do, each and every barrel has to be perfect. No detail is too small for our production team. From careful attention to the 18-month or more air-dried wood used in the construction of our barrels, to entering our distillate into the barrel at the costlier lower barrel entry proof of 103 so that it's smoother, to heat cycling our barrel houses, to our signature filtration protocol, we spare no expense in pursuing our goal of making the greatest American whiskey. And no Michter's gets bottled until our master distiller Dan McKee and our master of maturation Andrea Wilson say it's just right. Michter's Fort Nelson Distillery in downtown Louisville, Kentucky is open for tours and tastings. Book your visit on our website and stop by the bar at Fort Nelson for a world-class cocktail. For more information, follow us on social media at Michter's Whiskey, go to michters.com, or visit your favorite bartender. Michter's Distillery. It's all about the whiskey.
Heaven Hill Distillery has been lifting America's spirit since 1935. They celebrate American whiskey's rich traditions, guide its evolution, and champion its exciting future. For Heaven Hill, whiskey is more than a profession. It's a personal passion that is poured into every bottle shared with newcomers and aficionados alike. So whether you enjoy the simple pleasure of Evan Williams Bottled in Bond, or savor the uniquely satisfying experience of a rare single barrel bourbon like Elijah Craig 18-year-old, you'll find a home at Heaven Hill. If you want to learn more about the craft and techniques of making quality American whiskey, check out educational resources and sign up for their newsletter at heavenhilldistillery.com. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Cheers.
All right, and joining the Fred Minnick Show is Sarah Wynn. I've been watching your career, and it's fascinating to sit down with you in this amazing empire you built for coffee. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me, Fred.
Absolutely. Now, you have, we'll get into like how you got here and everything, but you know, I have three little cups here labeled A, B, and C, and we have a blind coffee taste test.
Yes.
And as a professional taster in the whiskey world, I get so excited about a blind taste test.
Yes.
I'm so stoked for this.
Amazing. So I really like starting people off with a blind taste test because one of our goals as One Cost Plot is to really break down preconceived notions or misperceptions around Vietnamese coffee and around the Arabica and the Robusta bean.
Right.
So instead of telling you this is this or this is that, I just want you to experience coffee because really coffee is such a personal and subjective experience.
Right.
But so much of coffee culture today has become so elitist, right? And really rooted in mastery or purity. And so for us, we just want to strip away the labels, the titles, and just have you connect with the coffee as is, and we'll see how it goes.
And of course, you know, you're solely focused on Vietnamese coffee.
Yes.
Second largest coffee producer
in the world. Yep.
And it gets, I know you're out there all the time, you know, bringing out the quality and the discussion of the quality here. But, you know, when you talk about the Robusta and the Arabica bean, you know, you don't think of Starbucks and places like that,
right.
You know, they're not championing those, you know, and I think that's where we have an issue in terms of the mainstream world.
Yes.
And you're here to change all that one cup at a time.
Exactly, yeah? One cup at a time.
Well, let's start.
All right. So right in front of us right now, Fred, we have three cups of coffee. They're all ground. And why don't you go ahead and take a sniff of A, B, and C and just tell us what you're smelling, what you're feeling. And
first of all, tell the audience, like, while you were prepping for this, you were weighing the cup.
Yes.
And then you were pouring ungrinded beans, full bean in there, and you were weighing that. What was the purpose of weighing? Like, how can, like, would too much, like, throw off a scent? Like, you need it all equal, or?
You know, it's not about too much or too little, because when it comes to water-coffee ratio, that's really subjective, right? Some people want a higher coffee-to-water ratio or a lower coffee-to-water ratio, depending on the concentration they want. But for this exercise together, it's just about consistency. If I want you to experience each coffee profile, I want them to all be prepped the exact same way, right? So when I was weighing the cup, I was actually tearing the cup, zeroing it out. And then I was placing 17 grams of coffee beans in each cup. And then I would grind it and then place it back in the cup.
So in the first smell, you can definitely tell they're different coffees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely very different. I'm having a hard time describe what I'm smelling in A. Maybe some spice and some earthiness.
Mm-hmm.
In B feels a lot more familiar to me.
Oh, okay.
You know?
I should have asked Fred. I'm sorry. Are you a coffee drinker?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Okay, so now that we know.
Yeah. So I will say that I get asked all the time, like, for some reason, this is one of the questions people want to ask me, is like, if you could give up whiskey, would you do it? Or if you had to give up whiskey, I'm like, I could give up whiskey tomorrow. It would be no issue. You take coffee away from me, I'll be out there with a baseball bat ready to fight. You know, you cannot take coffee. From
Welcome to the Fred Minnick Show, a show about coffee beans. So what's like, what's your personal coffee profile? Like, how do you drink it? Are you a black person?
Yeah,
black?
All, okay. All black.
Do you have a favorite brew method, like auto drip, espresso?
I'm a French press. Nice. I love French press. You know, we've gotten ourselves in a, we have a Keurig, we have a coffee machine, a basic one.
Yep.
And then I do a lot of French pressing.
Nice. So you like it nice and bold.
I do. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about when you have kids, when you have two young kids, nothing is safe in the house. We've had two French presses break.
Oh, yeah.
And the only French press I have left is a Mickey Mouse one. And they won't touch any, you know, they won't touch it. It's like, it's a sacred little coffee press.
You know, it's funny. You know what won't break, though?
Tell me.
A stainless steel Vietnamese fiend filter.
That's true. And you know, when I go to restaurants, that's what they will bring.
Yeah.
They'll bring the stainless steel. I don't know why I've never bought one.
Yeah.
It makes no sense given the given the track record.
It's nice to see the glass and the coffee brew. Yeah.
Yes. So I feel like C is a little fruity.
Mmm.
But it's not like like a sweet fruit. It's more of a kind of a pungency fruit.
Yeah. So for you, Fred, as a for you as a coffee drinker, which cup would you want to grab first and drink first, A, B, or C?
Oh, well, now that's a hard question.
Based off of the initial smell.
Yeah.
Because it changes a lot once we start to add water.
I'm probably going to say C.
Mm, okay.
I like the pungency of C.
Nice. Okay. All right. Should we add some hot water into it?
Let's do it.
All right.
And she's going to go back and to add some hot water. Let's kind of paint a picture for you. This is an active roasting house. You know, there are people like walking around. He's got one fella's, you know, carrying
Bowman
is carrying, looks like three U-line totes. And there's a bunch of other like food grade totes over there.
And everyone over there is actually part of our team. So our team, as you can see, is majority women.
Okay.
Packing beans, which we love to see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 5 out of 6 over there are women packing the beans.
And so they're packing the beans and he's roasting them.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All right.
So the water is at 199 degrees Fahrenheit, 200 degrees. Once it hits 205, we'll pour it in.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So what is the, everything I'm seeing about what you're doing here in a very short time frame, you're very precise. Very precise. Is that?
I'm a Virgo.
Is that a trait you've always had? Like,
I'm very precise. Interesting. You know what's funny? I feel like in my personal life, I'm not very precise. I'm quite... I don't want to say messy. What's a pseudonym for messy? Free.
Creative.
Creative.
Yeah.
So in my personal life, I'm not like I don't like Marie Kondo in my life at all. I'm quite free in my personal life. But when it comes to work and business, I've built the skills to be a little bit more precise. It's just a different objective. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're also like, you know, you're running your own business and like sometimes personal, like, you know, and business kind of like flow together, right? Or is this like, you know, your personal life is your secret identity. And like, this is like your superhero kind of world. As she's pouring in the water, there's a little cake.
It looks like a wet brownie.
Yeah.
Okay, that's called a crust. Looks like a wet brownie.
So there's no filter here. We're going in. We're going
full immersion.
Wrong. Full immersion here.
Timer. Yeah, let's do 4 minutes. 3.5.
The aroma is just epic. It's a lot of bitter notes are kind of coming off.
So at this stage of the cupping, Fred, you can actually kind of like get close and do some more whiffs of coffee to see how it smells at this stage. And I should bring a little closer to you. But to answer your question, I don't know, maybe you're right. I feel like when it comes to building my business, I am super, super precise and very rigid when it comes to building the company, because I feel like I just have to be, you know, like especially as a small business, there's very little room for error and very little room for...
she's chuckling because I'm taking a picture here. You know, you got to... You got to do all this like little photo that you're going, right?
I mean, all the multitask, all the hats. But
the
yeah,
social media stuff.
I feel like I'm constantly, when it comes to building like this business, or when it comes to building any business, I think my approach is always about how do we just become better every day? How do we achieve, you know, more optimizations, more efficiencies? And I think with that, that's where a lot of the precision comes in.
Well, you're also very, very candid. It's not just about money for you, you know? And, you know, I think when you, and I'm the same way with my show, you know, I've had a very diverse of like platform and strategy for my show, you know, especially last year. And when you have, when you take some of that kind of stuff on, you know, you realize it sometimes it's bigger than you or the show. And like you have created a company, not with just diversity in mind, but you are very focused on that as a strategic core part of the company.
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. I absolutely agree. I mean, it's funny because prior to starting this company, I had zero experience in coffee. I never even worked in a cafe, right? I've worked in restaurants, but not in a cafe. And I've also had zero experience in importing, roasting, CPGs, D2C, like all of it, right? So it's when people ask, like, well, how did you start this company? And I'm kind of like, why did I decide to start one of the most difficult companies, right? With
sure.
importing, exporting, roasting, all these things. And it's not because like I just really want to challenge myself. It was because I really want to make a difference, because I felt like there was something so incredibly unjust that was happening in the coffee industry, particularly as it relates to Vietnamese coffee and the Vietnamese coffee community, that I wanted to change that. And that led me to start this business.
And you're first generation born American.
Correct.
And you know, I love Vietnamese food. I love Vietnamese culture. One of my favorite you know, restaurants in San Francisco is I can't even remember the name of it, so it tells you how much I. But Charles Fan is the chef, and forgive me, Charles. I know I owe you a bourbon for that one, but Charles and I are friends.
I know, you know what? It's slipping from my mind too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I can't remember the name. It's something door.
I know. Wait, what is it? Blind, not the blind, no.
It's something door.
Slanted door.
That's it.
Is that it?
Door.
Yes,
it.
I get a bottle.
Yeah. But Charles is a big whiskey fan. I remember having a conversation with him about the disrespect that Vietnamese food gets.
Yes, yes, yes.
And one of your interviews, you talked about like there's such beautiful communities in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you could explain to the audience a little bit of what is so beautiful about the Vietnamese like culture and community.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, the first thing that comes to mind is like when I think about visiting Vietnam, the first thing that comes to mind is how generous the people there are and how hospitable they are there. There's just so much love and joy in every touch point of Vietnamese communities, from the street vendor selling you a banh mi, right? Or from the person making your coffee, or the person like pulling you like a bowl of pho. There's just so much love for everything that they do. And then when it comes to just the countryside, like if you travel Vietnam from the north to the south or vice versa, there the country as one country, there's so many beautiful regions and areas, and they all differ so much from each other. Right. So you're really getting like a rich, diverse experience of many, many cultures within one, I feel.
They were also... a couple of years ago, they were the fastest growing bourbon importer.
Really?
Yeah, they drink a lot of bourbon there.
Mm-hmm.
It's rising. I mean, I don't know where they are now, but
well, I think for Vietnam, I feel like Vietnam is becoming like the Silicon Valley tech hub of Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people from outside of Vietnam, call them expats, call them immigrants, call them, you know, people who just want to migrate. Settling roots in Vietnam. So there's this unique intersection of outside money coming into Vietnam, investing in the culture and economy and society. And then that's where we see things like a surge in whiskey or bourbon imports, right? It's really fascinating. Very dynamic culture right now.
And it's, you know, it's been a long time since this happened, but what most people think of when they think of Vietnam is the war.
Yes.
And as you know, as time has healed a lot of those wounds, we see people traveling to Vietnam, and there's definitely a lot of like vacations happening there. Even veterans going back to places there. As she's grabbing coffee, I bring up.
Side note, I was so distracted. I set a timer for 3 minutes, but it said 3 hours. And I was like, this is taking so long. So this is where my precision fails.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So right now, we're going to break the crust, and I'm going to clean the crust for you so you can start sampling.
Okay.
And as I'm breaking the crust, you can actually kind of like get a look. This is when the aroma comes out. Usually, if I were doing this, I would place my nose right here.
Okay.
Break the crust and bring the aroma back and forth.
All right, so I'm going to, should I do that?
Yep, and I'm going to clean the spoon so I don't contaminate. But it's hot, yeah.
It's too hot for me to pick up.
It's too hot, yeah. We want to leave this. I'm going to break this crust now. Hi, Rebecca.
How are you? Good morning.
We're live with the Brett Minnick Show. Just kidding. Can you smell it?
Yeah, it smells beautiful.
And what I love
about doing a cupping is that the experience of coffee changes so much, from the grinding to the initial smell to initial pour to breaking the crust to taking the sip. So very interested to hear how your experience changes through all these different steps. All right, that's the last one.
Absolutely.
So we're going to let it cool for a little bit after you take a sniff here.
Okay. After you take a sniff here, Fred, I'm going to clean the top for you, and then we'll go into the sampling.
All right. Yeah, as you were, you know, so graciously preparing the tasting, I was just talking about like the return to like tourism from the United States to Vietnam and how that's a really warming thing to see right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is the holiday season. What are some like some holiday celebrations in Vietnam that take place?
Great question. So in Vietnam, like they do celebrate Christmas, like they call it Noel, and there are a lot of like, you know, there are folks who are Christian in Vietnam, but really the biggest religion there is Buddhism. So to be honest, I've never celebrated Christmas in Vietnam, but I would imagine it's quite similar to here where they throw lights up. They might get a tree. I'm not sure what the pine tree import game is like out there, but it's not as big of a holiday as it is here.
Okay.
Yeah. What's bigger there is Lunar New Year, which is in February.
All right. So Lunar New Year.
Yep.
What's the big feast? Like, what are the like the big awesome like meals that are happening?
Oh my gosh. So, I mean, there are a lot of like different dishes that are traditionally prepared for Lunar New Year. There are things like this sticky rice, like cake that has like,
rice.
It's like sticky rice on the outside, and the inside there's like, mung beans and pork belly, and it's like wrapped in a banana leaf and it's steamed for like 4 to 8 hours. There's also like boiled chicken, which is a really popular, dish. There's pork belly. There's noodles. Yeah, a lot of it. A lot of fruits, too.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That
but also, awesome. But I should mention, before we eat, so as, like, my family, my growing up, my mom would prepare these Lunar New Year meals. But before we eat, we always have to pray. We bring all the food to the altar, and we pray, and we send the food up to our ancestors, and then we get to eat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Have you sniffed each one of these?
I have.
Okay. What are you noticing at this stage, Fred, between A, B, and C as you're smelling them?
Okay, and I am in the boots. I'm a little, so everyone knows that, you know, I hurt my Achilles, and like, this is one where I don't want to get up and take a risk because I don't want to spill hot coffee on myself.
Yeah, so, we'll bring it closer to you.
Here we go.
Slide it over.
I got to move a few things around. So glass A or cup A is yielding some really kind of dark chocolatey kind of. Yeah, kind of a dark chocolate and some like nuts.
Mmm, very different from earlier when you mentioned spices.
Yeah, it's not spicy at all.
Wow.
On the nose. Glass B, I'm going back in. That, I hate to cop out here, but it smells like a back of coffee.
Well, you did say earlier this felt like the most familiar one to you, right?
Yeah. I don't think this one changed very much. But okay. This one is, if anything, it got
consistent.
Amplified.
Oh, got amplified. Reliable B.
Reliable B. All right, here we go to C. C is like sloshing around here. It's just saying like, it's ready for me because this is the one that I flagged. You know, it's like, this is the one I think I'd like the most drink. Oh boy, that smells gorgeous.
Oh yeah? Loving C?
I mean, I keep coming back to like this beautiful hazelnutty, kind of nutty, kind of forward. There's a lot going on there.
Nice. So at this stage, which cup would you want to grab first?
Still C.
Yay, amazing. Yeah. All right, So next I'm going to clean the top for you.
Okay.
And then we can get into the sampling.
All right. And we have an audience here too.
Yes, welcome Rebecca and Mark to the studio.
How are you all? All right, so she's bringing the spoons in.
Back to back, front to front.
Skill technique, back to back, front to front. Is this how you take your coffee every day?
I take my coffee every day as an espresso with steamed milk and a little bit of sweetened condensed milk. So kind of like a Vietnamese cappuccino.
Very nice.
I have one of those home espresso machines. Great investment for the pandemic.
Oh, absolutely.
Clean the spoons in between each cup.
All right, so glass A is completely clean. Cleaned up. She's gone in for glass B. What she's doing is she's scraping around the rim, basically getting the grounds that might be right there, easily accessible. That's most of us drop down to the bottom. So I would imagine like you have a high-end restaurateur clientele.
That's a great question. That's a great thought. I do not. However,
I mean, you
we should change that.
You should totally have like a you know, like I like a lot of people like to have a nice cup of coffee after their meal. So are you, what is your clientele mostly?
We are primarily direct to consumer. So okay. Our clientele is all across the country in several countries around the world. We ship everywhere. And then we have a growing wholesale arm. So we do have some restaurants and cafes around the country. And then we're also in some New York City grocery stores.
All right. Because like most coffee shops, they do their own coffee, you know, and they don't like, it's kind of, I don't mean this in a bad way, but they're kind of boring.
Tell me more.
Because they don't like, well, hey, check out our bean that we got from Guatemala over here, which we actually just bought from a wholesaler and put our name on it. Or they say like, you know, they have all, they take one trip to somewhere like Honduras, Nicaragua, or Kenya, and they get all these photos and convey like, we're out there every single day. We're going into the fields and we're helping people find their way here because we believe in fair trade.
Right,
and
right.
And then they charge you $6 for a crap cup of coffee.
Right, right. You know?
I mean, that kind of like, I don't want to say it, but.
Say
like,
it.
Most of the coffee places out there are kind of like scamming people.
Tell me more.
Wait, do you believe the same thing?
No, I appreciate your perspective because if I said anything in this vein, I would just seem like a hater. But I will elaborate once you're done.
Well, if you could listen to many things I've said about whiskey, and I've been called a hater many times. It's a badge I'm proud to wear because I'm honest about it.
Yeah.
And you know, I know Starbucks gets a lot of shit, but I actually respect them because you know they're not. They're really not out there. They're a little bit more transparent than some of these like smaller independent companies that try to play off that they're doing everything themselves, and they're not. They're not.
Yeah, yeah. I have so many thoughts there. Can I share?
Please.
So the first thing I want to say is, you know, to your point about like when you said you felt like so many of these coffee shops or experiences are boring, that's where
Am I not allowed to smell?
You're not allowed to smell. You're not allowed to sip yet. I'm going to show you how to sip with a spoon. I want to make sure it's not too hot.
All right.
For us, this is why our goal, that's why we're so committed to increasing diversity in the coffee world, right? And when we talk about diversity, it's not just about how you look. It's about diversity in offerings, diversity in origins, diversity in drink recipes, right?
Right.
It's just creating a more diverse and creative drink culture. And I agree with you. Like, people ask me like, oh, where's like the best coffee shop or the best city for coffee in the world? I say Ho Chi Minh City, Saigon, has the best specialty coffee culture in the world right now. But people don't know that because they're not looking in that direction. And I'll tell you why. In America, I feel like the coffee culture here, everyone is aspiring towards the same standard, right? You walk into any specialty coffee shop, all the menus look the same, as you were saying, right? The beans right. are the same, the stories are the same, the approach is the same. Even the drink menu is the same. And
the same damn syrups. They all buy the same damn syrups. It's got right. the little pump. Like, would you look at hazelnut latte?
Right.
It's the same freaking thing, city to city.
And, you know, I love my syrups too, but for me, it's like, let's diversify the offerings, right?
Yeah.
But in here, the culture in America, the coffee culture in America is very much rooted around purity, mastery, and hierarchy. If you're not doing this, then you're not like a good coffee drinker or a good coffee shop, right? Whereas in Vietnam, it's much more of a divergent coffee culture. Here, it's convergent. They're all converging to be one. In Vietnam, no one cares about what the other person is doing. They're not trying to mimic the menu. You go there and you have a latte with like a star anise. You go there, there's like a calamansi cold brew spritz. So you go there and there's like a coconut coffee with the splashes. It's so innovative and creative. And that's why I think Vietnam has like one of the best coffee cultures in the world right now. But what else were we saying? Oh, private labeling. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you mentioned that because we are not in the business of private labeling. Some businesses are, and that's totally fine. But for us, that's not our brand, right? So it actually, as a small business owner, as somebody who works really hard to develop every part of our supply chain, from the sourcing, from the direct trade, from the importing, to the roasting, to the packaging, we do all these steps ourselves. We don't work with a middleman, Fred. So when people come to me and say, oh, can you private label your beans for us? It really hurts me because I'm just like, why can't we just talk about our partnerships? Like, mm-hmm. why do you need to invisibilize me and try to put your brand name on a bag and say, we're direct trade and we import and we source and we roll? So I'm like, that maybe for a private label business, you can go to them. But for us, it really hurts me as a small business owner.
Can you tell them to fuck off? Or would that be on?
No, I wouldn't say that. I just say, we're not in the business of doing this.
Do you want to tell them to fuck off?
No, I don't. I don't. Okay. It's each their own. I try to keep it inclusive.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I think we're ready for some sampling. All right. So now, Fred, you can go ahead. I believe it's cool enough now. Well, you don't want to lift it up. You're going to use a spoon. No. Yeah. A spoon.
I'm spooning it.
A spoon. So what you can do is.
This is a first for me. I have never sipped coffee from a spoon.
Sip it from a spoon. And when you're done sipping, before you go to the next one, clean the spoon, okay?
All right. I'm going into glass A. I'll smell it one more time. Oh, that smells so good. So I'm really big on like focusing on where something's hitting my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
This is really impactful in the bitter spots of the mm-hmm. tongue. So sides of the tongue, middle, back, but it's really powerful there. Just a touch of sweetness on the tip of the tongue. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go back in one more time, see what that sweetness might be. But there is a definite sweetness here. It's almost a sweetness that's like a smoky honey.
Ooh, smoky honey.
Yeah, there's a lot of African honeys out of like places like Tanzania and Kenya, where they get really access to smoky like buckthorn.
From your earlier experiences of like smelling it and sniffing it, how has it evolved to the final like tasting stage?
Well, I never saw this one being sweet. Started mm. kind of like earthy.
Yeah.
And like this has a lot of sweet properties to it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the bitterness is a pronounced typical bitterness that you would get like in a nut
yeah.
or like a nutshell.
Isn't that like such an exciting part about coffee? And I'm sure you experience it too when you're tasting whiskey, how it can change. The experience can change during different approaches.
Well,
right?
Coffee can definitely change.
Yeah.
Whiskey doesn't. You know, you change. The only way whiskey changes with, water, some time in the air, you change a lot. You know, the way you taste today will be different than how you taste tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So going to glass B, which I have said all along, it felt the most familiar to me. This is very savory. This is populating the middle of the tongue. which that's where I get my savory notes. This is like an after dinner coffee for me.
Oh.
So like, I actually, you know, my wife is like, why are you drinking coffee before you go to bed? And actually, it's not how she sounds. If you're listening to this, baby, I love you. I know that was a bad impression. Please. That's actually my impression of her grandma or like her, so I don't know why that one came out. But this is like a really good, you know, playing poker after, you know, right before you go to bed kind of thing. I'd like to have this with a cigar.
Yep.
This has like a real tobacco-y kind of like, you know, flavor. So for all the cigarette smokers out there who love to have their morning coffee and cigarette, I think Glass B will be right up your unhealthy alley. But
you know, a lot of cultures around the world drink coffee at night, right?
Yeah.
All day. It's great for digestion.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I need 3 cups in the morning, 1 in the afternoon, sometimes at you know, before I go to bed.
Is Glass B still the most familiar one to you?
No, it moved. It shifted a little bit. Mm. Yeah. It did not taste like I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Glass C now is the one that I've been craving. It's the one that I thought right away I wanted. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Did not disappoint.
Yay.
Yeah, that was gorgeous. Oh, man. Let me go back in here. Now, I'm just feeling it on my tongue. It's everywhere. Kind of curls up underneath a little bit. But it's also super focused on the tip of the tongue. I'm going to go with like this kind of like dark chocolate. There's a touch of hazelnut in there as well.
Yep.
And I like it a lot. C and A, you know, kind of palate very similarly on how they trace on the tongue. B is completely different, which is odd because I thought this was going to be the most familiar. But I really enjoyed this. Now I just want to now can I drink it without a spoon? Can
yes,
I just
like, if you want, go? But right. Be careful, there are grinds on the bottom.
I can handle it. I'm a big boy. So what's the worst cup of coffee you've ever had?
The worst cup of coffee I've ever had? The worst cup of coffee I've ever had are generally the ones where I drink it and I'm like, ah, it's so sour.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, Fred?
Oh, totally.
I won't call out any names, but I'm just kind of like, there was a whole period, you know, like 5, 6, maybe more years ago where everything was trending towards super, super light and super, super acidic. And as someone who grew up with like Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks, like that just wasn't my familiar coffee experience. And I think that exploration was very exciting for the coffee world. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it should come with a warning on the cup. Like the cup you're about to purchase is not what you're familiar with. It's super sour. And I just didn't understand it. Yeah.
So I served 9 years in the Army. Mm-hmm. And the coffee they served in that was like, it was like liquid. And then they would, you know, put it in like a trough. Yep. And it would come out as coffee. And it was the most disgusting,
oh no,
horrible, but it would wake you up, you know?
So what did it taste like?
Imagine leaving beans out after they have been, you know, used. They're in a trash can for approximately a good week. A New York rats came by and like sniffed around them a little bit. They're molding over. And then you reintroduce hot water to it.
Yeah.
That's probably what it would taste like.
But it got the job done? Woke you up?
It woke me up. I mean, we're talking like, you know, 3 a.m. guard duty, stuff like that. So like you really depended on it.
Yeah.
And we would, there would be like, you know, care packages and stuff we'd get. People would like, the two things they would send most prominently, baby wipes and like grounded coffee from somewhere because nobody could handle the coffee that we got. It was so bad.
Wow.
I think it pretty well made a lot of people sick too.
Yeah. All right. So I see you reaching for cup C. I'm assuming that's your favorite.
Well, right now it's a morning cup.
Okay. Morning cup.
Yeah. It's a morning cup. I think B might be my favorite.
What? Tell me more.
But then again, I go back to A. It might be my favorite.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of coffee. Like, coffee can be like, depending on what mood you're in, what time of day it is, what you have going on that day, you may reach for a different cup of coffee, right? That's why coffee is so personal, so subjective, right?
I want to smoke cigars with all three of these.
Great.
I'd like a nice like trim, light, you know, touch of sweetness to go with like a cigar from that caliber.
Yep.
To go with me. And I'd like a big, bold, robust Nicaraguan cigar with the Connecticut wrapper with A. And then, you know, see, I don't think, you know, see, I just want to drink.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want a cigar with it.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah, as you recall, I told you at the top, I was like, I haven't had coffee all morning.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing here.
Yes.
You're watching the cobwebs kind of clear from my brain.
Amazing.
And that's a very important step in my day, every yeah. single day. I have to have my coffee.
Yes. Okay. So are you ready to play the guessing game?
Sure.
All right. So A, B, and C, my first question for you, Fred, is which one of these cups, if any, or all, are Vietnamese coffee beans?
Well, given that they were here, they're all yours?
I don't know. Is okay. there a twist in the plot here?
I'm going to guess all Vietnamese coffee beans.
Okay. Why?
Because I'm here.
Okay.
I'm at Win Coffee.
All right. Ding, 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 ding. You are correct. Everything you drank today were Vietnamese coffee beans. All right. So can I tell you a little bit about our beans? And then maybe you can guess which ones are which.
Absolutely.
So at Win Coffee Supply, we import two main varieties of Vietnamese coffee beans. We mm-hmm. import both Arabica and Robusta. And currently, if you kind of scan the market, go to a major supermarket or any of your favorite craft roasters, it is nearly impossible to find a single origin Robusta bean on the market because of perceptions, which we can get into later. So we import both because we're here to really break down this idea that one is better than the other, but rather they're just different and unique in their own way, and people deserve diversity in offerings. So we have Arabica, Robusta. So for us, our offerings are, we have a 100% single origin Arabica, a 100% single origin Robusta, and then we have a blend of both. Which cup do you feel is 100% Arabica?
Well, I this is the part of my coffee consumership where I come out and say, I haven't done a lot of like coffee tasting to this magnitude.
I'll give you some more. Maybe
can you break down a typical Arabica for me?
Yes. All right. So let me share the main differences between Arabica and Robusta beans. So Robusta beans have up to 2 times the caffeine content of Arabica beans.
Okay.
And they also have 60% less fats and sugars than Arabica beans, right? So Arabica beans tend to be more fruity and more sweet because they have a higher like fat and sugar content. And the Robusta beans tend to be a little bit more chocolate forward, nutty, bold.
Arabica is B.
Arabica is B. Okay.
Why? Right?
Oh, Arabica has 60% more fats and sugars than Robusta. Robusta has 60% less fats and sugars than Robusta and double the caffeine content.
So Arabica has less caffeine content.
Yes.
Yeah. So B feels lighter in caffeine.
Okay, nice.
So that would be it.
Okay. And then what would you say is A and C?
The other one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, which one would you guess is 100% Vietnamese Arabica? A or C? I'm sorry, you guess B, sorry. Yeah. Which one would you guess is 100% Vietnamese Robusta? A or C?
A. I'd say A is the 100% Robusta.
Okay, and then B is the blend? Or C is the blend?
Yes.
All right.
That's my guess.
Okay, so you are ding, 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 correct on C is the blend.
Yep.
A and B are switched.
That's switched?
Yes.
Really?
So A is 100% Arabica.
So this feels like it has more caffeine, though.
Interesting. B has double the caffeine of A.
No shit.
Yes.
Wow.
And B has 60% less fats and sugars than A.
That doesn't taste like a lot of caffeine to me.
See, this is what's so powerful about narratives, right? And perceptions and how they oftentimes don't even match up. So there's been this perception that's been put out there that says Vietnamese coffee is gross, Robusta beans are gross, Robusta beans taste like burnt rubber tires. And then people just repeat these ideas without ever actually experiencing themselves, right? But Robusta bean is a bean like any other bean, and how you treat it, how you grow it, how you process it, how you roast it, and then brew it will deliver a different experience.
Yeah.
So it's really surprising to me and amazing to me that you didn't think that B was as quote unquote harsh as some people may assume. because of how we grow, harvest, process, and roast it.
It didn't feel harsh at all to me. If anything, it felt very clean and very easy.
Amazing. Yeah.
But also, you got to remember, my palate is like drenched with whiskey. And like a whiskey palate's very different than most humans.
Yeah.
So, we're used to things that a lot of people would think is hot or something, and it doesn't. But I will say, like, the flavor of caffeine, I think that might be a hard one for me to like kind of discern. How can I discern the flavor of caffeine?
Yeah, great question. For me personally, I'm not able to discern the flavor of caffeine, and I'm not really sure if caffeine has a distinct flavor. It's more of a feeling and experience of like if you feel more wired, right? Or if you feel more like hyper, right?
Yeah.
The flavor of coffee comes through the actual bean itself, the terroir where it's grown, its fat and sugar content, and then how it's roasted. Because how it's roasted is how the flavor or the properties are brought out. But a common misperception though is a lot of people assume that a dark roasted coffee is stronger because it has that kick. Yeah. But actually, the longer and darker you roast a coffee, the more caffeine is burnt off. So it's actually less strong when it comes to caffeine content.
So that might be what happened to me with A.
Possibly.
You know, I'm coming in here and it's got that more robust flavor profile.
Well, you know, to be totally candid, A is they're both roasted at a medium, but when it comes to like the actual, it's called like the end of roast temperature when we drop the beans.
Yeah.
The end of roast temperature for B, which is 100% robusta, is much higher than the end of roast temp for A.
Okay.
So it's pretty, I believe, the properties, I think, in the initial notes of like spices that you were getting, that's just from like the nature of the bean. Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful tasting. Three still my favorite.
Okay. Yay. Amazing. Okay. Can I make you a shot of espresso right now?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Okay. So since C is your favorite, I'll make you a shot of espresso with our actual best-selling blend, Loyalty. So this is our most popular blend, which makes sense that
so the one, that one's my favorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
C,
cool.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna pour you a shot.
All right. So the brands that she has here that have been knocked out for me have been Moxie, Loyalty, and True Grit. I like those names. Okay. So my favorite in order was Loyalty. That was Glass C. I really love Glass B as like for a cigar, and that's the True Grit. So, and her call out notes here, they have tasting notes on the bags. It says Scotch, grapefruit zest, and bitter melon. I shit you not. They put a whiskey on there for a tasting note. God bless them. And then Moxie, which I thought was really big, is the tasting notes. Wild berries, chocolate. I did call out chocolate, cherry, and honey. I even said a smoky honey. I don't know if it was on that one, though. But what a great lineup of tasting. I don't do a lot of coffee tastings. I do a lot of coffee drinking, but it's been a long time since I've done a proper coffee tasting. You know, I think when you do like, when you're like a professional taster, you try to limit the amount of, you expose yourself to other things, don't get me wrong, but you don't want to go all in, because then you get when I was tasting wine and whiskey at the same level all the time, I could never master wine while I was focused on whiskey. And so like I really believe, like as tasters, you got to choose. You can be all around, but for your specialty, you got to choose, because your palate has to grow into whatever it is that you're tasting on a regular basis. But this was fun. Now I've got an espresso coming.
I want to show you the crema.
Okay.
I just want to show you, I'm about to pull the shot, but I just want you to see the shot come through, because what's really beautiful about Robusta beans is that it delivers a rich, velvety crema that's very unique. So,
all right, here we go. It's Instagram time. All right, now what do we have here?
All right, this is a single shot of espresso made with our Loyalty beans, which is our best-selling blend, and it's a blend of both Arabica and Robusta from Vietnam.
God, it smells amazing. Wow. It's like almond sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I love this so much.
Yay.
Oh, you know, the thing about it is I just look at this and I think of how awesome this is. And I know my kids would destroy it. You know, like if I brought it home and did this nice machine here, my 3-year-old would bring a baseball bat to it or something like that. I just know it's so good. Mm. Oh my God.
Isn't it fascinating how coffee can taste so different through all the different brew methods?
Do you smoke cigars?
I do, actually.
I know you're a whiskey drinker.
Correct.
Trying to get you to come to my event tonight
in New York. Tomorrow.
Oh, I mean, sorry, tomorrow. It is tomorrow. Yeah, I mean, listen.
Event.
I can't keep my own schedule. don't blame me. Do you want to try and get you to that? But this would be an epic to go with like a little cigarello from Italy. Like, and cigarellos are like, they're smaller cigars, tiny. They kind of look like cigarettes, but they're not, you know, the same process. It's just,
yeah,
I want to be in Italy,
yeah,
and sipping this.
Oh,
is
yeah.
This is beautiful. Now, it's not like an Italian espresso. This is very unique.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yay, so happy to hear that.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the show. We are in the holiday season, and I think this would be a great gift for anybody who's looking to buy for a coffee lover right now. So tell everybody how they can find Nguyen Coffee.
Sure. You can find us online at nguyencoffeesupply.com. That's N-G-U-Y-E-N, coffeesupply.com. And we ship nationwide, free shipping over $50.
We have a lot of listeners in Canada.
Yes.
Can you get to Canada?
We also ship to Canada.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. We have like, every time I bring someone on and, you know, I get like 30 emails from people, I couldn't get it in Canada. I can't help you, man. You know, Canada's strict with their shipping laws. Do you have to pay a different sales tax in certain states with coffee, or is it pretty much the same everywhere?
That's quite complicated.
Yeah.
When we're shipping to different states, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation about just like how e-commerce tax laws are evolving.
Right.
But yeah, basically, eventually all businesses will have to pay sales tax to all the states they're shipping to.
Yeah.
That's a question for my accountant.
Well, I'm fascinated by it because like in whiskey, it's like everyone's different. Like the state of Washington is like a 35% sales tax on whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like crazy.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know if coffee was going through the same thing. I can imagine Utah has a very strict taxation policy toward coffee.
Why?
Mormons. They ban coffee and that's where Mormons are.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all over, but they don't drink coffee.
Utah's beautiful. I've been there several times,
gorgeous.
Actually. Beautiful. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'll give you a little cheers. Do you have
cheers,
any cheers?
Ideas and cheers. Yes. Thank you so much for having me, Fred. It's been so much fun together.
The pleasure was mine. And you're just, I love what you're doing. I love your story. But more importantly, the passion that just exudes off you. And like, you know, I would say that you're bringing Vietnamese coffee back into the culture, but I don't think it's ever really had a culture in the United States. I think you're developing it, and I think it's a beautiful thing. Cheers to you.
Thank you.
And I look forward to having a whiskey with you.
Oh, cheers. Happy holidays, everyone.
Woo!
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you got everything planned for the holidays. Sarah Nguyen was our guest there. Of course, you can go and check out her coffee company, and makes a great gift. We've been, since that interview, I've been drinking her coffee almost every day. So it's actually really, really good in a French press. Love it. But that's going to do it for this week. The next episode, it's also going to be hitting very soon. Also about coffee, my buddy Tommy Tardy joins this show, and he's going to talk about what it's like to run a club in New York. That is a whole different ball of wax. That's going to do it out there, folks. If you wouldn't mind, give us a review. It helps us with the algorithm. And tell a friend about the Fred Minnick Show. We could use another listener. Appreciate it, folks. Be safe out there. No licking handrails, no licking trash cans. And remember, vodka sucks unless it's being used for hand sanitizer. Cheers, everybody.
You've been listening to The Fred Minnick Show, brought to you by 291 Colorado Whiskey, by Michter's American Whiskey, and by Heaven Hill Brands. For more information about Fred and his books, his articles, and more, just go to fredminnick.com.